angsty teen music, but also maybe dad music, we're gonna talk about alternative music. Hello, and welcome to Pop and Circumstance, the podcast where we talk about pop culture things.
Yeah, boy.
Ooh. I'm Eva.
I'm Emily.
And Ned.
Oh, what?
And who are you, sir?
Oh, John.
And John. And, you know, while we were talking about our previous thing about music and music festivals, it prompted the question, what is alternative music? So that's what this episode's going to be about. But before we get into our topic, here's Emily with the news.
Okay, so this is like not pop culture news. This is like real news. And I just wanted to bring this up really quick.
Okay.
Free Palestine, please, for the love of God. Oh. Free, please stop the atrocities that are going on Palestine.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. Leave that goddamn country alone.
It's complex. I mean, definitely educate yourself about what's going on over there, because it's not as clear cut as what you think it might be about.
Yeah.
What you think it's about, that's not what it is.
Yeah, but it's 100%. They are definitely killing people that they're just wiping them out.
So just like, because of
it's a human, it's a human rights violation. Mm-hmm. So like, please, for the love of God, stop doing that. Please. Yeah. If you can, there's like a lot of people have like links to try to like raise money for it. But I feel like this too. Like, I don't even know how much more we can do.
Yeah.
To stop what is going on.
It's more of a government thing.
Yeah. I was like, our government needs to just pull the fuck out. Like, because although the U.S. is not entirely like involved in this, mm-hmm. but the U.S. does give military aid to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
We do give them, I think, like weapons.
I don't know.
I wouldn't like put it past us. Uh-huh. And then, so we're not directly involved in it, but we are involved in it.
We
so
have I'm a just, lot of influence.
Yeah. So I'm just like, for the love of God, I'm punch them bitches. So.
Yeah.
I don't know how much more noise we can make.
I think all we can do is like if there are links to just like helping actual people and like refugees, just mm-hmm. like on the personal level, or if you know somebody or you know someone who knows somebody, lend out a helping hand. I'm sure that means a lot to people, you know, because we're only little. we are not government. So
yeah, I know. But I just wanted to put my two cents in for that human rights violation. So please
do what you can.
Yes. Do what you can. Please
educate yourself.
But
on brighter notes,
in pop culture news,
mm-hmm.
things that don't really matter. Did you know that they're making a Dear Evan Hansen movie?
I know it.
I did not know they were making it into a movie.
Ben Platt
looks so old. Okay, I understand why they casted Ben Platt, because like he originated the character for Broadway.
And he's a good actor and a great singer, so it makes...
But you could have given another male the opportunity, another singer the opportunity to play that character.
Yeah. I mean, Ben Platt already has his notoriety on Broadway. Isn't that enough? Isn't that enough?
I was like, you've already played the character.
Yeah.
Why are you doing it again?
I feel like this whole taint... I mean, he's already a good actor. He has no reason to be in the movie. It doesn't make any sense.
If you could have casted anybody else, who would you have casted? I would have casted literally any other male.
No one on Broadway, because
they have that opportunity.
They're already on Broadway. That's a huge...
Oh, I feel like their cop-out, if it wasn't Ben Platt, would have been Jordan Fisher. Because that's
exactly.
Usually
I was like,
thing.
I would have said the same thing. Because, like, he's already made it there.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure he's the one who replaced him,
yeah.
Wasn't he?
Yeah. He's, like, because they rotated the new cast. He's in the... Well... I'm sure there's a new cast, but yeah, he was, I think, the second. Well, I don't know. Anyways.
Yeah.
But
I just, God. He looks really old.
I know.
And I'm not saying that, like, there have been, like, you know, because obviously everybody is older. Because Caitlin Dever, who's playing the sister of the guy.
Yeah.
Of Connor.
Connor, yeah.
His older sister, or whatever, his sister.
Yeah, his sister, yeah.
She is our age, so she's like 24, 25.
I could pass as a high schooler.
Yeah, and she's playing a high schooler, and I'm like, yeah, she looks incredibly young.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not shocked by that, but like, him, I'm like, you look your age, honey. You look borderline 30.
And then this is, and it's no shade to, like, Ben Platt. Yeah. Like, he's a great actor and he's very talented, but he should not be playing high schoolers anymore.
Yeah. I'm also just, because, like, Ben Platt is, like, best friends with Beanie, oh my god, what is Beanie's last name? Jonah Hill's younger sister. I forgot her last name.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
She's Beanie Hill?
No, her last name is not Hill.
Oh.
But they're best friends. And then she did the movie with Caitlin, obviously, for Booksmart. And I'm like, oh, well, small world.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But anywho, but that was besides the point. But I'm still just a little baffled. Hmm. Why? Why they made it into a movie? Also, they showed you the whole plot of the movie in the trailer, which I, like, understood because the way, if they had cut the trailer any earlier, it makes him look like...
A piece of shit?
No, it makes him look like a good guy.
Oh.
Because they only tell you, like, the first half of the story, but they don't tell you that, like...
Like, the fallout?
Yeah, the fallout, okay. And I'm just like, no, you need to see that, too.
Yeah, because he's a shitty human
yeah, being. So I'm just like, but I'm just... I don't know. I don't know if I'll go see it.
I don't think I will.
I don't
know. I'm fine with just listening to the soundtrack on Spotify.
Yeah, like, if you want to listen to Ben Platt sing it, you can just listen to Ben Platt sing it. You don't...
Yeah.
You really didn't need... It's fine. Everything's fine. Oh, okay. That was just too much for me. That was... God. I was just shocked beyond belief. I thought this was so funny because it...
The way social media is and how people, like, perceive celebrities' social media. So, like, if you are a relatively active person on social media and you stop being active, everybody's like, what the fuck's happening to you?
Yeah.
So, Emma Watson had been pretty dormant.
Oh, right.
On social media. Mm-hmm. And then everybody's like... She's taking a break. She's retiring from acting. She's like, no, bitch. We're in fucking quarantine. I'm just taking this time for me.
Just like everybody else. Yeah.
To just do my own shit. To enjoy quarantine. And try to keep myself sane.
She's got the money to just chill. She has to, like, work for the rest of her life, probably.
She's like, leave me alone. She's like, I don't have to be social. Like, I just don't have to do all this stuff all the time. Like, I can live my own fucking life. Jesus. Which I think is, like, I think that's anybody. I literally, which I'm glad I'm not a, this is also why, like, our podcast doesn't go very, like.
We're not very popular.
It's because a bitch sucks at social media.
Yeah.
It's because I get very, it's very energy consuming.
It is.
With somebody with anxiety and depression, it's too much for me sometimes.
And it's tedious.
Yeah. So, I will tweet occasionally, and I will disappear off the face of the internet. I will, like, look at Twitter, but I will not actively,
like, post things. That's why you haven't seen me, like, put any, like, art on my regular Instagram in a while.
Yes. Everybody needs their own break. Leave them alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm like, leave people, like, especially celebrities, alone, because I'm like, they don't owe you.
Yeah.
Anything.
So, and I mean, it's kind of similar, but also separate. Like, Irene from Red Velvet, K-pop group, she used to be on social media, on Instagram, like, a lot, but then she got in a little scandal. It's not very big, but she was kind of, like, mean to one of her makeup artists, and then she said, like, 3 apologies in different ways afterwards, and then people just, like, kept on, like, bullying her for being mean.
Yeah.
And so, and then, like, she, like, hasn't posted since. So she's like, fine, I'm not gonna be on social media if you guys are just gonna be,
if I'm
not gonna have any good interactions here. And so Victoria's really upset because she hasn't seen her face on social media in a long time, but
they do not owe you shit. Talua Willis, she's the daughter of Bruce and Demi Moore. Willis?
Yeah.
Bruce Willis and Demi Moore, sorry. She was like, she's resented her resemblance to her dad. And I was just like, girl, I guess. She's like, I punished myself for not looking like my mom.
Mm.
Which sucks, because, like, if your mom's, like, an icon, like Demi Moore, not saying that, like, Bruce Willis isn't an icon, but, like, she is, like, a beauty icon. Like, people do look at her and see, like, beauty and stuff, and you look more like your dad. So you're like, oh, man, do I not look beautiful? Bitch.
I mean,
trust me.
you got good genes. You are a beautiful human being, no matter what. But I understand that, though, where you're just like, fuck, I look... Because it sucks when you look more like if you have a truly hot parent, one is like hot and the other one is just
fine.
Yeah, they're just, you know, normal. Not like, like relatively normal. And you're just like, well,
yeah,
I look like the normal one. Fuck.
It's like, I mean, coming from a person who all her life has been saying, oh, you look so much like your father.
Oh, yeah.
It's not to say that like my dad is not a good looking man, but like I am a girl and I would like to look and present myself as a girl.
Yeah.
And as a cis girl. And when people are like, oh, you look like your dad. Like,
it makes you think.
It makes me feel defeminized.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, oh, I look like a boy. I look like a man. I'm not pretty. You know, as opposed to like my mom. You know, and stuff like that. And so, and then people do that to Blue Ivy also. They're like, oh my gosh, she's so ugly. She looks like Jay-Z. And I'm like, first of all, no.
She's very cute.
She's so cute. But also, like, you can see Beyonce. She looks exactly like Beyonce and exactly like Jay-Z at the same time. But fuck off.
It's one of those weird situations where, like, just leave them alone. But it is. I never thought, like, for me, I always got the, you look exactly like your dad, but I never took it that way.
Yeah.
I was just kind of like I look exactly like my dad. Mm-hmm. That's just how it's supposed to be.
I mean, that's just me.
No, yeah, but that's a thing that, like, you could definitely see it that way, and that's why, like, for her, she resented looking like her dad, because she's just like, I look exactly like my dad.
Not my gorgeous mom, but, like, my dad. Who is Bruce Willis. Okay looking.
This plain looking dude. This plain looking white man. Like,
yeah.
I'm not saying Bruce Willis isn't attractive. Like, yeah.
He's just,
I would.
He's a solid six.
I would, if he walked past me, I would turn around. I would look.
Yeah.
But I'm not like, you know, it's not Demi Moore. I wouldn't be like, oh, hello.
You're like, oh my God.
Say hello.
Exactly.
Jaw dropped sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I get it. I understand. This sucks though. It's okay. So, the star of iCarly's reboot speaks out after facing racist attacks.
What?
It was announced in mid-March that Lacey Mosley would be joining the revival cast as the best friend and roommate of Carly.
Late.
She is this lovely human being right here.
Oh, okay.
It's a black woman.
Okay.
So, you know, racist people would be like, you're not Sam, you're not. Oh. And I'm just like, fuck off.
But also, like, what's her name? Jeanette McCurdy?
She's not going to join.
She hated playing Sam.
Yeah.
So they, you know, respected her wishes. They're like, okay, we won't force you to beat this dead horse because you're done. And so, fuck off. Like, and also, you know, a life thing. Like, your friends who you're friends with in, like, high school and stuff, they don't follow you everywhere.
Yep.
Like, Carly makes friends in college.
Yeah. That's literally, like, look.
I'm so excited. I didn't even know there's a reboot. This is news to me.
But they, a little side note.
Okay.
Because I follow Devin, I don't know how to say his last name, from Ned's Declassified School for Survival
Guide. Oh, yeah.
He made a TikTok, because, like, people have obviously asked her, like, oh, where's the continuation of Ned's Declassified? Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, we have pitched it to Nickelodeon, because they're the ones who own the rights to the show. Mm-hmm. And he's like, we've pitched it to them, and they said no. Mm-hmm. They've pitched it being an adult thing, an adult-ish show where they, like, teach you tips and guides on how, like,
how to be an adult.
Yeah, like tax tips, finding roommates, like navigating the online dating scene.
Such a good.
But, like, they said no, and I would, like, it makes sense though, because I'm like, that would not fit on Nickelodeon, like, no. Anywhere on Nickelodeon, if not anything, at Nick, like, at Night. Nick
at Night.
No, I don't even think it would fit on Nick at Night
because it's not like a sitcom.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, I feel like that's more of its own entity. Maybe like MTV, maybe something else. I don't know. But they're just
I wonder if he would be able to make like a YouTube series.
But it's owned by them and they won't release the rights. So I'm like, that sucks. Cause I would love that.
I would like that.
I think, cause you learned so many like somewhat useful tips from the show in general that were just although they seemed so outrageous, they were genuinely
they were good, like, studying tips and just ways to organize your time in high school. They were actually, like, very good, applicable advice.
Yeah. Did you see that Ariana Grande got married?
I did.
I was like, hell yeah, baby, doing her. Do it where no one's watching.
I love. Like, oh, yeah. And it was like only like a cute little intimate thing. I'm just really happy for her. She seems like she's, you know, happy, which is good.
Yeah. So that's pretty much all we're doing, folks.
All right.
That's pretty much all that's going on.
All right. So yes, we are going to talk about alternative music and like, because after recording the last week's episode, we kind of got into a discussion of like, you know, alternative music is not what we remember it as. And that was very boomer-ish of us. We're like, back in my day, it was better. You know?
It is different. It has grown. It has changed. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. So before we get into it, I'm going to go over Merriam-Webster's definition of alternative music. And I trust Merriam-Webster. They're very smart. So it says that alternative music is music that is produced by performers who are outside the musical mainstream, that is typically regarded as more eclectic, original, or challenging than most popular music, such as conventional rock, pop, or country, and is often distributed by independent record labels. So I think we should keep that in mind. You know, put a pin in that. We'll keep referencing that as we go along.
Independent record labels?
Mm-hmm. Often. Not always, but often.
Yeah.
And so they're more like they're more experimental. Okay. More experimental music, I think. And then when you look up alternative rock artists on Google, here are some that
pop up.
That are most known. Nirvana, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Weezer,
Weezer?
Weezer.
I was like, Weasel.
I was combining Weezer and Pearl Jam. Green Day, Smashing Pumpkins, Foo Fighters, Arctic Monkey.
Monkeys.
It's
just the one monkey.
It's the monkey outside the IKEA, the jacket.
Arctic Monkey. The White Stripes, U2, The Killers, Linkin Park, rest in peace. Oh my gosh. Nine Inch Nails, The Stokes, Oasis.
The Strokes.
God damn it.
I'm just here to correct her.
Please. Thank you. That's what you guys are here for. Muse, Arcade Fire.
Fuck Muse. I love them.
Blink 182, My Chemical Romance, Paramore, Gorillaz, Nickelback. I love Nickelback. Fight me.
Look at this graph.
Look at this graph. Rage Against the Machine, The Black Keys, 30 Seconds to Mars, Kings of Leon, Fall Out Boy, Death Cab for Cutie.
Yup.
And Cage the Elephant. Okay. Those are the main ones that I cared about. And that sounded familiar to me.
Yeah.
So those are like, and then when you're looking through all of these alternative rock artists, they are not super popular nowadays. They are more our time. So we are zillennials, technically, according to people, because we're in between millennials and Gen Z, where we remember.
It depends on where you look into, because like technically we are millennials.
Yeah.
But if you were to put us at like a general like based like
time,
on your
time frame,
you're the in-betweeners. We're not like 97, I think, is more zillennial than we are, because we're a little bit like there's still things that we're like, no, I do remember that shit. Mm-hmm. I do distinctly remember, but yeah.
So I mean, all of these guys are not. First of all of these guys are mostly guys. I think I only named one
with a
woman, Paramore, Haley, and also a lot of them are not super popular
anymore. Yeah.
Either they don't make a lot of music anymore, or they're just not as popular. And so,
or they're just popular with like the older crowd. And
so that brings me to like kind of question, like, is alternative rock dying or dead, or has it kind of like mutated in a new modern way? Because I feel like when you turn on the radio to an alternative rock station, they play most either like the oldies, like from our days, or indie stuff.
Yeah.
Billie Eilish, the 1975.
I was just gonna say, like, short answer, no.
Okay.
Alternative rock is not dead. It's just evolved. It is now more, 'cause like,
everything goes in waves and stuff. You see it. It's the reason, like, not everybody likes Fall Out Boy anymore, but, like, you saw it with their sound, too. They also had to steer to a different way.
Right, yeah.
Because you had to. Paramore is not the same sound that they were when they were at the beginning. But that's also just growth.
Yeah.
Because they're like, hey, we grew as artists. We grew as people. Here's our sound now.
Yeah.
But just the sound now is not as, I don't want to say as aggressive, but it's not as drum percussion based.
Okay.
There's not as much that. It's more like synth.
Okay. Okay. I see where you're going.
It's, yeah, because, like, think about it, though, because, like,
it's more technologically, like, it's leaning.
Not, yeah, like, we did hit that, like, weird phase where, like, EDM, it's, like, the 2010s, where EDM kind of, like, skyrocketed in pop music, and we heard it everywhere. Skrillex was, like, all over the place.
Yeah.
And then, like, listen, folks, you're going to learn a little bit about me. I was into the hardcore scene at one point in my life. And there was this band, it was an electric hardcore band called Breathe Carolina.
Oh my god, I haven't thought of them in forever.
Yeah, but they had, John was listening to a TikTok that had literally not even 0.001 second of Blackout by Breathe Carolina, yeah. And it threw me back. But that song,
yeah.
That song broke, like,
yeah.
The mold of music on the radio. They were on the radio,
yeah.
And like all my friends were like, "Emma, your band," and I was like, "Yeah, I know, bitch, I know," because that sound was very popular. That sort of synth heavy electronic sound, which is what indie really, like, leaned into. Bleachers.
Yeah.
Like, it's that sort of sound that, like, everybody was like, bruh, bruh, this is what I'm here for. That's why we have bands like Bleachers now, and we have, because, like, Fun kind of had that,
oh, right.
That band in between.
Fun. Yeah.
Yeah, the band Fun, yeah. Period. Had that in between sort of thing where there was kind of still the traditional alternative, but still very electronic.
Yeah.
And then,
would Panic at the Disco, is that punk or is that alternative?
Depends on the album you're looking at. Depends on the album you're looking at, though, because if you look at their old stuff, like the Ryan Ross albums, like when he was still a part of the band, a little bit more rock centric, and then they kind of changed the tone in the 2010s.
Yeah,
just like everybody else did when they're like, "Hey, we like this other shit." Yeah, like I'm just everybody went this different route, and that's just how it went. And then I'm not saying that alternative music is dead; it's just very different now.
Okay,
and everybody's just listening to different stuff. That band you listen to,
the guy who used to tour with Brendan.
Oh, I don't know how, but they found me.
Yeah,
like I don't know how, but they found me. Fun.
That band, great. I think that's a great alternative, like, alternative sound.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of other ones. The Regrets, that one's a female-led band.
Well, they're more, like, traditional, like, punk.
Yeah, I was gonna say, they're a little bit more back to the Wallows. Yeah. I think Wallows is a good example of the new, newish sound.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's a great example of the newish sound. Of, like, because they have a lot of inspiration from, like, the old stuff because they love the Strokes, but you can definitely tell their sound is more what everybody's listening to now, sort of deal. So, like, they're a good introduction. The Rex, there we go. Well, the Rex, though, it depends on which song you're listening to, because sometimes they're like, hell yeah, we're very rock heavy, just having a good time, and then other parts they're like, fuck it, very whatever I want to be, and I'm just like, you know what, let's have a good time. Just depends. I think it's just, I think everybody's just having more fun, and they're not trying to stick to one sound.
Okay, yeah, okay.
And then they're just like, you know what, just make music.
You know, in an argument to that, you know, to support that, I mean, to support the definition that Webster gave us, alternative rock is supposed to be not, like, it's supposed to be different. It's supposed to be experimental. And so you could argue, you know, like, that regular alternative became the norm.
Yeah.
And so now they're just like, okay, we're staying away from that norm, and now we're getting more experimental, which is all this, you know, more electric kind of stuff. And
I think that's why it's like everything is so, it's all so different now, and you're just like, you know,
growth.
Yeah.
There's so much.
And then I also looked up the definition for indie music. Mm-hmm. And so obviously indie is, you know, short for independent music. It's music produced independently from commercial record labels or their subsidiaries.
Uh-huh.
A process that may include an autonomous do-it-yourself approach to recording and publishing. The term indie is sometimes used to describe a genre such as indie rock or indie pop, and is a genre term indie may include music that is not independently produced, and many independent music artists do not fall into a single defined musical style or genre.
Mm-hmm. Indie is very like weird, because to me when I think of indie, Lorde is usually who I think about.
Oh my gosh, I hope she makes music again.
I think on the other spectrum, I also think a lot of like indie folk.
Yes.
So I think of like the band The Civil Wars. I haven't heard them in a while, but
Chicano Batman.
Like, oh god, like indie folk is so good though. Like mm-hmm. folk, if you want like some soothing times, it really you know what I should be listening to right now to like de-stress me.
Yeah.
It's just very, very calming.
Yeah, when I feel homesick, I listen to
like it's indie just very, folk. Very, yeah. very just
Mm-hmm.
It's like taking a deep breath,
mm-hmm.
which is, I think, very, very relaxing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, everybody has their own taste. I don't know. I think indie is such a broad term that a lot of, like the definition says, a lot of people can technically be mm-hmm. without really being indie.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause like, okay, an independent artist who fully produces their own music and everything, but I wouldn't consider them indie is the main.
Mm.
Everybody on their technical record label is, they do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They do everything themselves. But I'm like, they're not indie.
Mm-hmm.
Their sound is not indie.
Yeah.
To me, that is not indie. They're, what are they? What would you consider the main?
I mean, I think they're technically indie.
Oh, I guess.
based on the part that they're on independent label.
But their sound.
The sound. If you did not know that they were their own label, if you just heard their music, what would you put them under?
I guess alternative.
I would just put them under alternative. It has that
band, like, you would go to a local band concert, and they would be playing there.
Yeah, like, that's, they're meant to be, you know, you're supposed to see them in a show. That's how they get a lot of their fans, is because you see them in a show, and you're like, you know what, these guys are fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, because they're like, have a huge poster. Banner that says you are now watching a band called The Main. And I'm like, those fuckers. But there's mm-hmm. so many others that I'm just like, Brockhampton, technically at the beginning would have been considered an indie band.
I mean,
an indie group, because at first
mm-hmm.
they were self-produced.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They all got together and, you know, made this shit. And then, you know, we don't stand them, but, you know. Yeah. But they did that. They did their thing. But that's not... Their music is not indie. Their music mm-hmm. is hip-hop.
Yeah, and then you could also go into, like, a lot of people, when I think of alternative music or indie music, they don't think of hip-hop. Yeah. But even, like, the Gorillaz, they were, like, a hip-hop group.
Yeah.
And so once I think like a couple of their newest albums, I don't know where it started, maybe Demon Day, no, maybe I don't know when, but one of their newer albums sounded completely different from what they used to do.
Yeah.
You know, it sounded more, you know, indie, or, you know, just more electric poppy, you know? And everyone was, like, so mad. They're like, oh my gosh, you guys are becoming more mainstream, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, we've always been mainstream.
Yeah.
We've always been making music based on what's popular now. Back, you know, in the early 2000s, hip-hop was the shit.
Yeah, no.
Like, R&B 100%. was
R&B. I love that. Yeah. Early 2000s R&B. Mm-hmm. So good.
Yeah, so they're like that. So that's what we made. And so now that that's not as
popular
anymore,
we changed our sound.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's the truth. It's mm-hmm. it's. I think any artist to survive in the industry, one, you need to learn to adapt,
mm-hmm.
but you also need to learn to grow. Mm-hmm. You can't just be producing the same album over and over and over again. Although some people are like, "That's what I want," but that's not really what you want, because as a person, you grow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've listened to The Main since high school,
mm-hmm.
but their music, their sound has changed mm-hmm. since I listened to them in high school. Like, that's just genuine growth. Paramore does not sound the same from when I started mm-hmm. listening to mm-hmm. them.
because they have also grown. I have also grown. My music taste has changed. It relatively has stayed in the alternative scene, but I also listen to other stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, bitch, that's just genuine, like, if you're like, you're not making the same stuff anymore, I'm like, bitch.
Bitch. Me, personally, I get bored of listening to the same music mm-hmm. all the time.
Like sometimes I go back to it because I'm like, you know, I have a playlist on my Spotify. Mm-hmm. It's my starred playlist because I used to have Spotify when you used to star things way back when, and that made it like a separate like playlist. Mm-hmm. So that was back in like high school. I like listened to it while I was running the other day, and I was like, you know, this is the perfect soundtrack to run because it's all teen angst.
Yeah,
it was teen angst galore.
And I
was
like, actually, you know, did make a Spotify playlist called "Wow, So Edgy," and so it's all of my like middle school, high school, like
sometimes you want to relive your past, mm-hmm. but for the most part, you want to continue to listen to new things, mm-hmm. listen to new sounds. You can stay in the same realm, but you want to hear more. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing wrong with listening to other stuff. That's why I like John's music taste, because John listens to pretty much everything.
Yeah. His face was like, no.
And I'm like, yes, you do. You listen to pretty much everything. You have a very eclectic taste.
When you're in the shower, I hear Carly Rae Jepsen one moment, and then the next I hear, like, cut my life into pieces.
And then Run the Jewels
will literally... I do not listen to Papa Roach.
Run the Jewels will literally play next. And then you'll go to literally, oh my God, I don't even know, like something completely different. And I'm just like, you know what? That's a mood. Sometimes you need that. Sometimes you need literally Fleetwood Mac would start playing. And I was like, you know mm-hmm. what? Mm-hmm. I need that roller coaster of emotions. But yeah, that's just how people are.
Yeah.
Some people stay in the same genres and that's fine. But like your same genre does change. True. Just like the alternative scene has mm-hmm. changed. Mm-hmm. Punk rock has changed significantly mm-hmm. from the early 2000s to now. It just has.
And then as I was researching for this episode while I was, you know, hanging out today, I was listening to two Spotify playlists, mm-hmm. Like new indie. I was listening to new indie, which is like the stuff that I, you know, you'd probably hear on the radio.
Yeah. Stuff you probably actually listen to.
Yeah. Like that's the stuff I listen to. That's my default at the moment. And a lot of the people it's on
that
there.
It's K-pop. That's her default.
Yeah. I was kind of bored of my K-pop. So I was like regressing a little bit, but I noticed that a lot of the artists in indie are, internet artists.
SoundCloud is like the way to go.
Yeah, right, like now. People that I found on TikTok and stuff. Yeah,
TikTok
are on that playlist, and I'm just like, oh, okay, cool. And then when I was like, okay, so what does new alternative sound like? So I found a playlist that says new alternative by Spotify. I have never heard of any of these people.
They're all, but
what I was pleased to see, I mean, it sounded exactly the same of what I used to listen to and what you would think alternative music, you know, sounded like, but there's way more diversity in the playlist, way more women, first of all, and also just a few queers here and there, specifically like lesbian women, and I'm just, or like queer women. I don't know what their sexual orientation is, but
you never heard of 21 Pilots?
Well,
or Modson?
No, I mean, like, except for those guys, but
yeah, I'm just kidding. I was like, Glass Animals, I know who they are. They're like huge. They're
glass,
huge.
Yeah, glass.
Glass Animals forgot about is huge them. In that whole scene.
Mm-hmm. And then as I am looking through, I looked up indie music artists. A lot of them are the same as alternative, with different ones like St. Vincent, Vampire Weekend, Lana Del Rey, Mumford & Sons. I'm pretty... Oh, Florence and the Machine.
Oh, God, Florence.
Tame Impala. I love Tame Impala. But also Tame Impala is, I would think, more psychedelic. But also it's all like... Again, going under, it could double dip in a lot of things. Oh, it says Taylor Swift is indie.
Her newer stuff is more indie folk. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that.
Foster the People, Oasis. I love Oasis. They've always sound the same throughout. But yeah, it's interesting. Oh, and then there's also a list of Black indie artists. I have noticed that a lot of Because alternative music is very white.
Yes.
With the occasional, I think you'd see a lot of Latinx or Latine alternative indie folky music because it's very easy. I feel like it's very, like, Latin music can mesh really well with alternative, like, rock and stuff like that. But very rarely do you ever see Black people, like, included in these spaces. I recently found, this is another guy that got super popular. One of his songs got viral on TikTok. His name is Ty Verdes, and he's a Black singer, and he sounds so nice. He sounds, like, it sounds exactly like, you know, my usual indie shit. And it sounds raw, because a lot of the stuff sounds so, I don't know how to say it, like, clean? I don't know how to say that. Like, it's, like, he made it in his room sort of feel to it. And he just sounds like he's having a good time. And so I feel like there's, nowadays with the inclusion, with the introduction of, like, TikTok and stuff like that, a lot of Black artists are now being introduced to that space, because they're like, we can do more than just hip hop and R&B. That's not our only thing. And so I think that's a really cool evolution that I see going on at the moment.
Oh, dude, when, like, Khalid is, like, obviously, like, oh, yeah. What would you consider Khalid? What is his sound? Because I'm like, he is pretty, like, indie, but, like, still kind of
R&B-ish. Kind of R&B-ish. I would, yeah.
It was, like, it's kind of, like, a mix of both. When he blew up, I was just like, hell yeah. First of all, the whole album is phenomenal. That man's just phenomenal to begin with. Performance-wise, he's so talented. Also phenomenal. He's great. There's so many, like, great artists out there. If you just, like, just take the chance to go look, there's so many people out there who are just phenomenal. Just look. There's plenty of people. Starting out here. But, yeah, no, there's a lot. It's always been weird being somebody who likes alternative music, alternative rock, the pop punk scene, stuff like that, is that it's majority white folk, a lot of white people. And then when you're, like, the only brown person, and there's, like, maybe, like, one or two Black people in the crowd, maybe another Hispanic or, like, Latine person in the crowd as well, you're just, like, you stick out like a sore thumb because everybody else is white, and you're just like, oh, I feel so out of place. But, like, I also like the music, I promise. I promise I also fit in. Just like, damn it. I know, it's damn it, you white people.
That's a whole other, like, the culture surrounding, you know, the alternative music world is so interesting.
Because we're not supposed to... You see this a lot, because, like, especially in, like, Latine, I can't speak on the Black experience, but I from, like, outside perspectives, I also think they also experience this as well. Depression and anxiety is not a thing in your households. So when you do deal with this stuff, and this is the music you, like, geared towards, because, like, this is stuff that makes you feel the things that you want to feel.
They talk about, I also know,
you know, like, this is the stuff that I was like, yeah, I feel these emotions. Simple Plan, you got my back. But you know, expressing your emotions with that music, obviously, like, everybody else, like, in white cultures are, like, they're a little bit more acceptable to talk about your feelings and their family and their households and stuff. I'm not saying that every household is like that, like, but just a broad little bit sense. More. Yeah. So then I think that's also the reason why there's not as many fans. There probably is, but they probably also couldn't go to the shows.
Yeah, because their mom told them they can't go.
Oh my god, my parents would hold that shit over my head. And they're like, no, you can't go. I'm like, I get good grades. Let me go.
But, yeah.
Siempre quieres ir para... Oh my god.
No, but yeah. And also when I was listening to the alternative music, I did notice that we were talking about this earlier, how a lot of the music is also misogynistic. I heard a little bit of that in the songs that I listened to, but it wasn't as rampant.
Yeah. I think they've calmed down.
Yeah.
I think they've calmed down.
There was that, and then it was mostly a lot of, you know, since there's a lot more women in the scene now, a lot of female artists that are more popular now. It was very female empowered, and, you know, oh, Marina was also on there.
And Marina and the Diamonds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Formerly known as...
Yeah, sorry. That's how I... Formerly known. That's how I remember her as.
Yeah. So she was on there and, you know, just all this talk about just, like, women, female empowerment and all this other kinds of stuff. But I guess since these men, you know... It's not acceptable to bash women anymore. it was never acceptable, but, like, nowadays it's just not welcome.
No, yeah.
Like, people don't want to listen to that anymore. I had noticed that a lot of the male artists are now talking when they sing, and this was normal back in the day, too, but most of it was just, like, men being vulnerable about their mental health, about their emotions. And I was like, this is so refreshing.
There's a, I'm going to call out a local band for the Southern California region. Mm-hmm. They're a band called Movements. They are a pop punk band, mm-hmm. like in a true sense. They're a little bit more of like the newer sound. Everybody like flocked to them. They're like, oh my God, they're so good. Mm-hmm. They are. They're genuinely like fantastic. But I saw them, I had never heard them before. I saw them at a show because I was going for another band. Mm-hmm. And I kid you not, just listening to the stuff, mm-hmm. minding my own business. And then they played one song and it hit me so hard. I've never not known a band and started crying.
Yeah.
Because I was like, bro, that hurt.
Yeah.
Like, I felt that so hard. Because, like, mm-hmm. they have songs about, like, obviously, like, about depression and things. They have a song about Alzheimer's. They have so many things that are very, like, real. And, like, I'm just like, bro, stop it.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Yeah.
Too many emotions. Which is why a lot of people liked them. Because they're like, you're not just talking about, like, relationships and stuff. Mm-hmm. You're talking about, like, real emotion.
Yeah. Like, which is real, very, like, refreshing. Internal investigation.
Yeah. Which is, like, very refreshing. Because, like, a lot of people, they're, like, talk about, like, broader things, but these are more specific stories and mm-hmm. things, so I think that's always exciting to see in music. Do you remember, see, this is all like from my experience from mm-hmm. being in the alternative pop punk ish mm-hmm. scene, because like Hayley Williams, remember, because mm-hmm. Paramore was the only like well-known female-fronted band. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Any other female-fronted band was immediately compared to Paramore. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm glad they no longer do that. Yeah. But I remember back in the days, because I really enjoyed... I enjoyed female-fronted bands. Mm-hmm, I did. Mm-hmm. When I saw them, I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
A woman. So I liked We Are the In Crowd, mm-hmm. Tonight Alive, Paris, when they finally like showed up on the scene. But like We Are the In Crowd and... Tonight Alive. I don't think they got as much Tonight Alive, but I know, like, Tae Jardine, a lot of people are like, they compared her immediately to, mm-hmm. to Hayley. And I was like, bro, why?
Yeah.
They're completely different types of people. Mm-hmm. They sing differently. She can't hit her notes.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the same. They're mm-hmm. not the same type of thing. That's a duo. It's a man and a girl. They're singing together. It's meant to be like that. Mm-hmm. Fuck off. But then Tonight Alive, that's a whole different thing. That's where they're like, phenomenal.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God. And then Paris showed up and I was like, oh yes.
Oh, yeah, Paris. Mm-hmm.
God, mm-hmm. Lynn. What a woman. Lesbians. She is our holy grail. She dated Kristen Stewart for a while. And I was just like, God.
Good for her.
Yes. And I was good for both of them. Oh, God. The gays. Oh.
Yeah.
Yes. But, oh, God. Yes. Now there's even more. And mm-hmm. it's not just white women either. It's just mm-hmm. there's more women in the front. Mm-hmm. Now, and I'm like, ah, oh, yay.
Yeah.
Women. We don't hate men here.
No, yeah. It's just like, it's very rare to... back in our day, we didn't really grow up seeing a lot of women in this scene. So it's, like, really nice to see women. We're really happy about it.
And then not immediately get bashed because they're women in
the scene. No one's, like, attacking them. Mm-hmm. At least it's not as... No one's as vocal about it. You know what I mean? It's not as upfront and center that people are just, like...
Oh, my God. The things they used to say... Oh my God. The things they used to say. Fuck. I'm glad we're not. There's probably still people saying stuff. Oh, yeah.
Like, there's going to be internet trolls galore anywhere, but
I don't think it's as prevalent now as it used to be, which is really nice.
When I was. One of the main reasons why Victoria is not in this episode, because she didn't. She was never part of this.
She doesn't care, like, scene. For the alternative side.
And so she recently found a girl group called Dreamcatcher, the Korean girl group, and they do not sound like any other girl group out there. It's very rock heavy. Uh-huh. And so Victoria was listening to it, and she's like, wait, I actually do really like rock music. She was just like, but I never connected with the men as you and I did, you know, like we were just like,
it's just, it was what we had. It wasn't my fault.
Yeah. And so me and Emily, we were just like, oh, this is so good. Yeah. Well, and then we wallowed in it.
Yeah.
And then Victoria was like, I don't connect with these men. I don't get it. Whatever. I don't want to listen to it. But now that she found these girls, she's just like, oh, wait,
I get it now.
And so it's not that she doesn't like the music itself.
It was just the
content, I guess, the perspective.
Yeah.
Was what she was going for. And then also I was...
Why didn't you show her Tonight Alive, bro?
Well, okay.
That would have been like the perfect segue.
No, but like, I actually like... There was this one time we were in the car together and I felt in a mood. And so I put on my Wow So Edgy playlist and I was like, I'm sorry, I'm in a mood, but I'm going to play it. Because I had a feeling that a majority of the songs that would come up were going to be men.
Yeah.
But every single song that came up is like God knew. He shuffled the stuff. He's like, okay, Victoria's in the car, so I'm just going to play all the females you have in this car first. And, you know, they played Flyleaf, mm-hmm. Tonight Alive, Paramore. She liked Paramore as a kid. Like, who didn't like Paramore? And, you know, like, all the others in that. And so Victoria's like, oh, like, this is nice. So I was like, yeah. it's a good genre.
It's a great genre.
It's good.
It's a lot to get your blood pumping.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that, like, every other genre has, like, their things to get you whatever.
You know, going.
Yeah, mm-hmm. whatever, like, emotion you need to express. Mm-hmm. But that's why I think I always genuinely went for alternatives, because I was like, this is... gets my...
When I want to really feel something, like, really just kind of... Again, I'm going to use the word again, wallow.
Yeah.
I go to my Wow So Edgy playlist, because it brings me back to my olden days when I was going through it. I don't know what was going on, but I was going through it. And so I was like, you know what? I want to go through it again. Not in a, like, a toxic way, but like in a way where it's like, I just want to feel something. That sounds so dark.
But no. You know, I get what you mean. There's sometimes I'm like that, but I don't want, because I listen to mainly alternative music every day. This wonderful human being on TikTok, they're Pablo the Don is what they go by on Spotify. Mm-hmm. They have a playlist. This is more indie music. Well, no, it's actually alt. It's the thousands to mid tens. So it's like it's 2000s to
2010
to 2010. Sorry, words are
early odds to the tens.
Yeah. Alt gut punches, and then it's a playlist that they made that was all like the alternative stuff, but it's not like the alt stuff. I don't mean like the rock. Mm-hmm. I mean like the more indie stuff. Mm. So like the Walk the Moons, the Two Door Cinema Clubs, the Foster the People, the Group Love, the Vampire Weekend. Oh my god, Vampire Weekend.
Wow, you just listed a whole bunch and I completely forgot.
Yeah, like MGMT of Monsters and Men, Bastille, American Authors, Phoenix.
Oh my god, no one has mentioned Imagine Dragons yet.
Imagine Dragons, I don't think is on her playlist, on their playlist. I don't remember them being on here. Tegan and Sarah is on here. The Vaccines is on here. Franz Ferdinand. That's the more like rocky song that's on there. Modest Mouse, Arctic Monkeys, New Politics is on there. And I was the fact that New Politics was put on there, I was like, hell yeah, bitch, because that's my shit. Neon Trees.
Oh my god.
But Imagine Dragons is more going towards traditional, like, rock. Mm-hmm. When you're thinking about it, even though everybody likes to shit on them, they're very enjoyable, okay? I will just say.
You know, I'm sure they are fun in concert. They look like a good time.
My friend has seen them, like, before everybody started hating them. Mm-hmm. Before it was cool to hate them, just like Nickelback. I don't get it. Nickelback I get, but Imagine Dragons I do.
Yeah. Nickelback is something else, but...
But she was like, yeah, they're so much fun. Like, I've seen videos because, like, obviously I've been her friend for a while. And she would post them on Snapchat. And I was like, yeah, no, bitch. Like, that looks like so much fun. Mm-hmm. Like, hell yeah, I would
throw down at an Imagine Dragons concert. Hell yeah. And then now everybody's like, yeah, they're cringy. And I'm like, what are you telling me about?
And then also, you know, talking about Imagine Dragons and when they won, like, the, what, best rock?
Best rock, yeah. Even they were like, what the fuck?
Yeah. That also makes me think of, like, you know, back in the day, rock was so, like, main, like, you know, alternative was very mainstream. You know, you had Fall Out Boy, My Chemical Romance, Panic, those, and, you know, Imagine Dragons, and Mumford & Sons. These ones that were technically alternative.
But Mumford & Sons is still, like,
folky, exactly, yeah. They were all combined them into this
rock
thing, and I wish, like, right now I would say that a lot of music award things are mainly focused on pop, R&B, rap, like hip-hop. That's it.
Yeah, because that's what's popular. And
country,
right now.
I guess.
Yeah.
But the country has its own, has its own thing. But we don't really have a lot of accolades for
the rock
scene. The rock scene, the alternative scene, the indie stuff. Because, and I feel like that's, like, really disheartening in a way. Because, like, I would like to find new, you know, theme people, because, like, instead of me revisiting my Wow So Edgy playlist, where it's, you know, all from the early 2000s to the 2010s, I want to know what these young, you know, Gen Z, you know, artists are making, and what do the kids like nowadays? Because, like, that would be nice.
Yeah.
And I can't just find them all the time on TikTok.
Yeah.
And a lot of, you know, the award shows as a new way to be like, oh, like, for example, if you didn't know who, what was his name? Wow, he won a Pulitzer Prize.
Kendrick
Lamar. Yeah, if, like, you didn't know who Kendrick Lamar was, and then you saw that he won, you know, Best Album of the Year or whatever, you're just like, oh, who is he? And then you, like, go and you're like, oh, wow, that no wonder he won a Pulitzer Prize. Yeah. You know, and all this other kinds of stuff. So I think that would be, you know,
much more. Yeah. If they're more
exposure.
It's always really weird with the rock, like, genres when it comes to, like, the Grammys, because they don't really know who to put there.
Yeah.
It's literally anybody who doesn't fall into any of the other categories. Mm-hmm. They're just like, yeah, you go here. And I'm like, is that really rock, though? That's alternative, but that is not rock.
It would also be cool if, like, maybe...
if they separated the two.
Yeah, like, very similar to how, like, the Country Music Awards and then the Latin Music Awards. Why not have... you know,
they have an
alternative indie rock.
They have technically the Alternative Press Awards that they used. I don't know if they still do it, but if you read the magazines, like Alt Press, the Alternative Press, because I used to subscribe to them back in the day because they were, like, the number one to get, like, Warped Tour tickets. They did at one point, like, award shows, and they would award the more, like, niche alternative scene people. That's how I knew about Machine Gun Kelly before he became really, really famous.
I
was like,
you know what? That's another one of those artists where I didn't even know who he was until...
Then Black Bear. That's how I knew about both of them before they became really, really famous. And I was like, bitch, I knew about those fuckers way before.
Yeah, at first I was just like, because I thought they were both... because they... Machine Gun Kelly and Black Bear, they feature themselves a lot on, like, a lot of, like, hip-hop-y things. But then, like, no, we started in the alternative scene
with rock. 100%.
And then if you listen to a lot of their, you know, their personal songs, like, their own, like, solo stuff, it's back to their roots.
Yeah.
Like, although,
be careful with Black Bear. Some of his stuff is, like,
true.
Just teenage waste. Whoa.
Yeah, some of his stuff, like, but I do feel...
Listen.
Good stuff. Some of his songs hit differently.
I don't know if he's a Florida native, but his brother is. His brother lives in Florida. And I was like, Maddie.
Ripping.
You'll miss. Anywho. If there's just more ways to get more alternative music out there. That's why I wish there's more festivals. That's why I miss the Warped Tour for the sense of, like, why it brought, like, more people out there.
Yeah.
So you can find more bands. Because, like, while you're waiting in between things, you can be like, oh, cool.
I'm sure you could go to, you know, a local music festival.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, get introduced to a lot of these newbies, because that's where they start. But at the same time, I feel like I would, you know, like a Warped Tour or a Lollapalooza, it would be really cool at this elevated level to bring in these new people, yeah, these rising stars into this genre and be like, you like Blink 182 and yeah, and all this other kinds of shit, here's the next generation.
Yeah, well, that's like Sad Summer Fest, yeah, for the main, they kind of are doing it's like a smaller Warped, yeah, Tour-ish, but the bands on there, like the newest one is really like Grayscale.
Yeah.
They're really good though, like if you like that like pop punk feel. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing though, it's like that's very like genre specific.
Yeah.
But I want more wide range where I can find a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. A little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. A little bit of everybody.
We'll see. I forgot to mention Lainey. LANY.
Oh yes, I do know who they are.
Yeah, they're also, I think, Sir Sly. Indie. Oh,
there's another one.
Sad White Boys. Oh, Lainey. That's another one of those bands where, like, if I really want to wallow and just hear a white boy cry about women.
Yeah, it's like there's that. There's, oh my god, there's so many.
Also, it's an aesthetic. I get, you and Victoria are just like, get away from the 1975, yeah, and Lainey. Geez. And I'm just like, but they're an aesthetic. I know they're not the best men to listen to.
She
but
likes these.
I like look. Problematic men.
The men I listen to are literally like Shawn Mendes.
You have good. You listen to good men. Harry I listen Styles. To toxic men.
Or the main.
No, that says a lot about my taste in men. Yeah. I did say back in college, I was like, all my taste in men is garbage.
Yeah, I was like, listen, I just knew. I was like, listen, I need good feelings. not terrible ones. Or I listen to really sad shit. The Front Bottoms, oh god.
Oh yeah.
Sad mm-hmm. shit. That's a different type of sad though. That's a different type of sad.
Yeah. Anything else that we want to talk about?
I was gonna say that's a whole different genre of alternative rock, the Front Bottoms.
Like, what would they be considered?
Fuck. What would you consider them?
I don't know.
You really don't know what they are? I don't even know. They really are. Because it's like talk singing.
Very similar to like
not like Hobo. No. Not like Hobo Johnson, not like 21 Pilots, not like that sort of talk singing. It's just very.
They're kind of like. This may not be a great example because they don't sound similar at all, but they're kind of like Matt and Kim in the sense that they started out as kind of like a DIY sort of.
Yeah, they were just a duo originally. It was just the two of them. And then here you go. They became more.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then they got signed on to Fueled by Ramen.
Oh, that's a iconic company right there. Yeah,
they became, you know, a little bit mainstream. Mm-hmm. But John says it too. He goes, I forgot which album it was. He goes, it sounds more clean than their old stuff because their old stuff sounded more, you know, like they recorded it in your garage sort of mm-hmm. thing than compared to their newer stuff. But I like all of their stuff. Mm. I enjoy it all. I think they're all great. But you can tell the difference between their getting money and then them starting from the beginning, which is fun.
Yeah.
But they're an interesting sound. I do like seeing them perform. I'm trying to think who they toured with. So I'm like, they're indie, I guess. And not in the, like, independent artist.
But, like, in the sound?
In the sound. Because they don't really fit anywhere.
Like, an organic sort of.
Because you're just like, you're your own thing. You're your own bubble.
Yeah, when I think of, like, indie or alternative, I think that those are the kinds of, that's the kind of music I want to see live. You know what I mean? It feels personal. I think that's how I connect with alternative and indie music. Mm-hmm. It's very personal. It's very intimate. And whenever I watch them live, I'm having an experience. And so I think that's how I would kind of categorize.
Catfish and the Bottlemen, what would you consider them? Rock.
Yeah,
rock. It's like traditional rock, but it's great rock. Shit slaps so hard. Them live, oh, chef's kiss, fucking great. God, no. I think. Well,
Also, I think that's why I like the alternative scene better, because them live is phenomenal. Yeah. I'm not saying the pop people aren't.
No, yeah.
I was going to say Florence, but Florence is literally the alternative scene.
Yeah, she's...
But she's phenomenal live. I'm trying to think of anybody who I have seen that's not alternative. Ed Sheeran? He's not?
He... You could argue he started off indie, because he's not... I don't think he would be pop. If he were not super popular...
It's literally, to paint you a picture of what it's like to watch him on stage, it's just him and a guitar.
Yeah, and his little foot pedal.
Just him and a guitar. It's literally just him chilling,
doing his thing. I remember one of my sisters, she went to go see Ed Sheeran, what was his first album, Plus?
It was Plus.
And that's when he was not very popular.
Yeah.
And so she heard A-Team...
Yeah.
Somewhere. I don't know where she heard A-Team, but then she's like, oh, I like it. So she went to go see his concert, and his concert, she only paid like $30.
Yeah.
This was like when it was at one of those like really small venues. Mm-hmm. And then like the next year,
he blew up
and you had to pay like Taylor Swift prices.
Because he toured with Taylor
Swift. Yeah. And so you're just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So yeah. I would argue. And also if you listen to Ed Sheeran's like albums, that is indie, that is alternative.
At least the older stuff, I think Shape of You is a little bit more poppy, but the other ones are definitely, well, Shape of You is divide, but like the older stuff are definitely.
Oh man, ooh, do I want to go?
Yeah.
If I listen to Plus, I get in a mood.
Yeah, because I was like, because on the finding an artist when they're smaller, when I'm going to make myself old here. Mm-hmm. When I listened to 21 Pilots back in the day, I paid $20 to see them. $20 after tax, bitch. That's how long ago it was. And I saw them play at the House of Blues. I was supposed to see them at a smaller venue when they toured with New Politics, but I could not make it to that show, so I had to see them when they played at the House of Blues. And then that show, I think towards the end, eventually sold out, like probably like right before the show. I think like the day of it sold out. $20. Very exciting. So much fun. Great time. Then I think the next time, tickets went up a little bit. Still sold out.
Mm-hmm.
Then Blurry Face came out and those tickets skyrocketed. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I was like, I've been through so much shit with you. I paid $20 the first time I saw you. And now you're going to charge me this much? Are you fucking kidding me? It was so annoying. I said goodbye. Yeah. But it wasn't necessarily the band. It was my biggest gripe with them. I have two gripes. Is their fans became very, very incredibly toxic.
Like gatekeepers.
Yeah. And I was just like, bruh. Because, like, if you didn't dress up and everything, and I was like, bitch, I don't give a fuck.
I was also having a good time.
I'm too old to be doing this shit. I wasn't really that old, but I was still like, I'm too old to be doing this shit. I don't give a fuck. God, it was so annoying. You know, fans are also annoying. Blend that you love so much. And I did that.
Oh, no, yeah. I know. I like I said, I know the 1975 is toxic in all realms, but...
Their fans?
It hits sometimes.
I had to endure them because I wanted to watch Cobra Starship.
Oh. But, yeah. I think alternative...
I don't think it'll
go away. I think alternative and indie is very important to music. Just because it's a way for very unusual sounds to be elevated and be turned. I think it's a really good medium to see what is now popular.
Yeah.
I think I would argue alternative music becomes one of the most popular music. And then once that becomes popular and mainstream, it changes again. And then I feel like it's one of those cogs that kind of changes what is modern music.
Yeah, it's turning the wheel constantly. We're seeing it right now. Olivia Rodrigo just dropped a song that's a little bit more teen angst. A little bit more rockish than like her other two songs that are a little bit more indie, and I was just like, yeah, no, there you go. Like, there's more influence, more everything, and I'm just like, yeah, because there's you grew up, even though like she's
younger
like
than us,
19, 18, 19, in age. I'm just like, you still somewhat, even though you might have not like inherently outwardly like heard what we heard on the radio. Mm-hmm. I remember listening to the Backstreet Boys when they were on the radio when I was a kid, when I was a kid, like in the car. Mm-hmm. I but wasn't,
it
you know,
didn't hit you.
It as, didn't hit as me much like, as, like the... as much as the stuff I genuinely listened to mm-hmm. when I was younger. But I'm just like, it's still subconsciously there. So like, yeah, we're going to see the waves go around mm-hmm. and this the more rock feel I think will resurge again and it'll go back and then mm-hmm. the more maybe a more electronic feel will resurge again. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Just depends if people are changing the sound, if they're adding more to it, if they're doing new things. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Yeah. It all depends.
And this is all coming from people who don't really listen to the radio anymore. But, you know.
I'll listen to... I don't listen to the radio, but, like, I see things when they pop up occasionally. Mm-hmm. Everybody's talking about somebody. I'm like, I'll go listen.
Yeah. I'll check it out. We don't live under a rock. We're not that old. Right? Yeah.
Right?
Really?
Right.
So,
but
yeah.
But if you disagree with us completely and fundamentally... Let us know on our social medias.
Yes, if you want to talk to me personally, I'm at Eva_Beavermart on Twitter or Beavermart on Instagram. Emily, where are you?
You can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at TheEmilyGuran. You can find our collective Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Pop and Stance. Mm-hmm. And if you like Facebook, we are at Pop and Circumstance. And if you liked this episode and want to leave a comment, leave it on Apple Podcasts.
Or if you didn't like this episode.
Yeah, and you want to yell at us.
And you want to give us a nice, friendly critique.
Okay. Or that way.
Or just a scathing review. Yeah. I want. I'm literally craving anything at the moment. John, what's your friend's thingy?
Oh, RJCXD official.
RJCXD.
Official.
Official. All right.
On YouTube.
YouTube. Yeah, so go and revisit your teen angst. If you are a teen angst, enjoy it.
Yeah, dude.
You so will come stuff. Back to this in the future.
Yeah.
I mean, and be open to new artists. Go look for new artists. It's actually a good time. I love my Spotify Discovery
I think thing. Spotify Discovery is like one of the smartest things out there mm-hmm. to find new people, to find...
people I've never heard of. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, great. Sounds good. So yeah, and just go enjoy yourself. Be good to yourself. Wear a mask when asked.
Just be safe. Just
keep
just
a mask in your pocket.
To be safe, just wear a mask.
Yeah, wear a mask and get vaccinated so you don't have to wear your mask anymore.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'll see you later.
Bye.